Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Dale Lally Show here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. I am Dale Lally, your host, and we'll be talking some Steeler football here today. Mike Tomlin using game two of his three-game preseason this year as kind of the dress rehearsal. Everybody I've spoken to in regards to the first team guys saying that they expect to play in this game. That includes Najee Harris. I don't think that we'll see Cam Hayward in the game Saturday night against the Jaguars because, well, he had a scary moment on the in the final practice here at St. Vincent College where he went down for a bit with an ankle injury, went got that checked out, came back down to the field. So it looks like they avoided a catastrophe with Cam Hayward. And so, but I don't think you'll see Cam Hayward. I would doubt that you'll see guys like T.J. Watt, maybe Minkah Fitzpatrick, on defense in this game as well. Maybe Minkah, because he can kind of stay away from things and, you know, keep himself out of traffic a little bit better than say a TJ Watt can or a Cam Hayward can up front. We'll see about some of the other guys there, but offensively, we're going to see the Steelers roll out there with their first team offense. And we haven't gotten to see a whole lot of that in this training camp. They finally were able to get their top five eligibles on the field together at the same time this week, earlier this week. And so we got to see Deontay Johnson and George Pickens on the outside with Chase Claypool in the slot, Pat Freiermuth out there, and Najee Harris. And so that's a pretty good group. And as I wrote about site, you know, I think this group could be really good. Much of that depends on the quarterback play. We'll continue to see how that continues to develop here. But I thought that the final day of training camp practices at St. Vincent College, anyways, that portion of training camp, Mitch Trubisky had a really strong day on Wednesday, with whatever day this is, Thursday. I've lost track of all the days here as we get through this whole thing. But I thought he had a strong practice, made some good throws, made good decisions. And, you know, I think, you know, the Steelers leave this training camp feeling much better about their offense than they did when they started training camp, at least the skill position part of it. You know, we'll see about the offensive line. You want to see that group make a jump in this preseason game, take a step forward at least, maybe not a jump or a leap or anything like that, but at least make some improvements, show some improvements. Don't have guys running free at the quarterback and things of that nature. And those were largely communication issues and identification issues. So we'll see if the Steelers have cleaned any of that up in terms of that second preseason game. Tomlin confirming as well today that Mitch Trubisky will start and that he'll be relieved by Kenny Pickett in this game. Don't read too much into that yet. I know some people are saying, well, that means Kenny Pickett's going to be the number two. We don't know that yet. You know, things can go wrong in this game for Kenny Pickett. He could go out there and have some rookie type moments. And, you know, certainly Mason Rudolph has done nothing to say lose the number two job. For example, I thought Mason Rudolph had a really good training camp and really put his best foot forward. Maybe not enough to win the starting job, but you know, if Kenny Pickett falters in this, in these final two preseason games, you could see Mason Rudolph continue as the number two quarterback here. And that's the other reason why, you know, I know there's been some rumors out there. The Steelers are going to trade Mason Rudolph. I don't look for that to happen anytime soon. Now, I'm not going to say it won't happen, but if it were to happen that they would trade Mason Rudolph, it wouldn't happen likely until after the third preseason game. Because what happens if they go into one of these preseason games, they've traded Mason Rudolph. Let's say Friday they trade Mason Rudolph. And then Pickett or Trubisky gets hurt. Now you've really shortened things up there. Now you got to go out and sign probably a veteran guy to be your backup. So you might as well hold on to Mason Rudolph. You know what he is. You know you can win with him. So you hold on to him until, you know, unless somebody bowls you over here. You know, because Chris Oladokun, quite frankly, he's not ready. And he wouldn't have been ready even, you know, this is just a situation where in this training camp, he didn't get a snap in the training camp until Wednesday's practice. He got a few more on Thursday. But it's been all running scout team stuff. Like, I don't know that they're going to play Chris Oladokun at all in this preseason. In fact, I would suggest that they probably aren't going to play him based on the lack of snaps that he has gotten in this training camp. Now, the fact that they're getting him some scout team reps does raise the, okay, maybe they'll think about trading Mason Rudolph if they think that Chris Oladokun can give them a good look week in and week out as the scout team quarterback. But they're not going to look to do it. I don't think they're going to shop him or anything like that. Somebody would have to call them and say, hey, what would it take to get Mason Rudolph off, you know, take him off your hands? Again, not saying that couldn't happen. I think he's better than 15 to 20 backup quarterbacks across the league. I think certainly there's a lot of teams out there who could use a Mason Rudolph as their backup quarterback. But, you know, the idea that the Steelers would go out of their way to trade him or just to get rid of him or just to get him out of here, as some fans are suggesting, yeah, just get him gone. Like, that's not how things work. Again, as I said before, do you not remember the 2019 season when you had to play three quarterbacks? Do you want one of those guys to be Chris Oladokun making his first career start? That could happen. I mean, so, you know, we've seen it happen. In terms of the other things that you want to see at this game, it looks like Jaylen Warren, as I reported a couple weeks ago, has definitely surpassed Benny Snell as the number two running back. He was running second team throughout the practice on Thursday. Now, he's still also walking around holding the football all the time when he when he's walking around or not on the field or doing drill work. So fumbling, you know, he got to make sure he can control the football and not put it on the ground again. But it sure looks like he has passed Benny Snell as the Steelers' number two running back. And it looks like Anthony McFarland has carved out a role for himself as well. So that running back position that we didn't feel quite so good about going into training camp, I feel a lot better about that coming out of this training camp. And that's why, you know, the Steelers weren't in any real hurry to go out and sign a veteran running back. You want to give the rookies a chance or the young guys a chance to see to show that they've improved. And Anthony McFarland has certainly done that. I think he's been a much more decisive runner than he was early in his camp. He told me, Wednesday that, or Thursday, I should say, one of these days this week, they're all running together. When you spend 19 straight days, living in a hotel like that and watching practices every day, they do tend to run together. But he told me this week that, he's come to the realization that a 4-yard gain is a good gain in the NFL. There's nothing wrong with that. You can't look for the home run all the time. And so I think he's a much better, much more decisive back because of that. So that running back position, I think, is in pretty good shape here as the Steelers come out of training camp. So we'll get to see those guys again in this game Saturday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll get to see Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, George Pickens out there. Now, I don't expect necessarily that Johnson is going to play a ton of snaps in this game. But as Mike Tomlin noted in his press conference on Thursday, you know, that offense is awfully young. There aren't a lot of veteran players on that offense. So these guys still need snaps. You know, Chase Claypool is only going into year three. Pat Freiermuth is going into year two. Najee Harris is going into year two. So those guys are going to get at least a handful of snaps out there. So we'll get a good chance to see what Trubisky looks like in this offense. And I think that's a good thing. So we'll, looking forward to seeing that when we get down to Jacksonville. Of course, I'll have the reports for you down there. Tomorrow, I'll do a more of a preview of the game itself and tell you who I'm really going to be keeping an eye on in game two here. But I'm going to take a break. I'll be back with more. Let's talk about Deshaun Watson when we come back right after this. So the league and the lawyers for Deshaun Watson and the NFLPA got together and came up with a decision on what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. It's not going to be the 6-game suspension and no fine that was originally given to Deshaun Watson via his the NFL's arbiter. It's going to be 11 games and a $5 million fine. That's a big deal. And it's a big deal for the Cleveland Browns because here's why. The league really stuck it to the Cleveland Browns. You're listening to the Dale Lally Show, by the way, here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. By giving him an 11-game suspension, seems like an odd number. And it is, obviously, it's an odd number. But Watson will now be eligible to come back and play the final 6 games of the year. And so by playing in 6 games or being eligible to play in 6 games this year, the Browns can't toll his contract. They have to pay. He has to play this out. Otherwise, if the NFL would have suspended him for the entire season, the Browns could have tolled that contract, which means they could have rolled this year's contract over to next year and started the clock ticking on his contract next year as opposed to this year. Cleveland's $32 million over the salary cap next year because Deshaun Watson costs $55 million against their salary cap. Now, they've got a bunch of money that they can roll over from this season. They have the most available cap space of any team, but they're $32 million over the cap right now. And even if they roll all their money available cap space over, they're still only going to have about $10 million in cap space. Barely enough to sign their free agents, their rookie draft class. So the league didn't do the Browns any favors with this suspension because now they don't have Deshaun Watson for 11 games. They'll be fortunate if they win 4 games out of those 11. So he comes back in year 4-7, and you're not going to make the playoffs. And they had gone all in on perhaps trying to make the playoffs and making a Super Bowl run, or at least what they thought was a Super Bowl run this year. So it's a big deal. And, you know, people are looking at this and say, well, that's not harsh enough. It's pretty harsh on the Browns. They get what they deserve, though, on that one, because they signed him, gave him all that guaranteed money. Basically, they're going to now, because they tried to finagle that first year cap-wise. But when you look at Deshaun Watson's contract and cap hits now over the next 4 seasons after this one, his cap value jumps ridiculously. So this year, he would have counted just $9.395 million. Next year, again, as I mentioned, that jumps to the next 4 seasons, $54.99 million, almost $55 million a year. His base salary in each of those seasons is $46 million. Now, the Browns could convert some of that base salary into signing bonus again, but all that's doing is making those contracts in 2024, 2025, and 2026, the cap hits even more. You're going to bump those cap hits up over $60 million if you start turning too much and converting too much of that set base salary into a signing bonus. So the league really hit the Browns pretty hard on this one. So I think it got what it wanted here. I wanted to send a message to Cleveland or maybe other teams out there that might want to do something like this, sign a player who had something like this hanging over his head and then giving him guaranteed money that, hey, we're going to get you on this one. And that's exactly what they did with the 11-game suspension. Now, it was just kind of a coincidence, or maybe it wasn't. Maybe the NFL was thinking this when it did the schedule earlier this year. It just so happens that 12th game for the Cleveland Browns is at Houston, Deshaun Watson's former team. That should go well. I can imagine that the fans in Houston are going to be very, very welcoming to Deshaun Watson, given everything that he did there, forcing his way off of that team. Should be very interesting. Can't wait for that one to happen as well. And of course, in week 1, the Browns will head to Charlotte, where they'll face their old quarterback, Baker Mayfield. That'll be a lot of fun, too. That's going to do it for the Dale Lally Show here today on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. listen to all of our shows on here. We appreciate it when you do that. Give us a like, give us a share of the shows. We'd like it when you do that as well. But I'll be back again tomorrow to preview Saturday's game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Talk to you then.